Okay, so what did they do to connect the trail to sulfur?
Well, they began selling chemical fertilizers long before 54.
Here
comes the Dust Bowl. Why did the Dust Bowl happen? How could the Dust Bowl ever happen? Well, if you use chemical fertilizers and you kill all of the standing grass, well, then you pretty much have an empty field when the wind comes up.
Wow. Yes.
You know, so the Dust Bowl was an immediate result of chemical fertilizers, and there's a couple of articles that demonstrate that. It's the greed of big to make a lot of money and maybe feed somebody. But I don't know anybody that General Mills or General Food has fed in a long time. Battle Creek. Have they ever fed anybody? I don't think so. That isn't food. Yeah, it comes in a box.
Okay, so we have the fertilizer industry getting a foothold out of Germany into the United States going, hey, wow, we could use all this waste industrial product to make a product that we could sell. Let's call it fertilizer. And now what do we do? Let's see. We get the politicians behind us, which brings us to 1954.
Yeah, and Ezra Taft Benson felt so sorry for Prescott Bush and Nelson Rockefeller because they were almost broke. You know, they were down to their last trillion.
Yeah, those poor people.
I know. Can you see Prescott Bush out in the corner with his bowler asking for $100 notes?
Hey, can you give me a $100 note here? You know, buddy, can you spare a grand?
Yeah.
So he felt so sorry for them, he mandated the use of chemical fertilizers over the complaint of every single agricultural union in the United States. But now it became law if you wanted to get paid for growing nothing.
If you don't buy and use our fertilizers, even though you've all said no way in hell are we going to interrupt nature's natural cycles by putting your chemicals on our crops, but I'll tell you what, if you don't use them, you're not getting all this pile of free money. We've got truckloads of free money over here. Come get all you want, but you got to use the fertilizer.
That ain't free money. That's my money.
Exactly. The people's money.
Yeah.
The people's money, right.
They use the people's money to bribe, force, because, you know, the economic vagaries of busted boom cycles within any economy means that at some point somebody's going to need a lot of money. And so they get the money, but they got to use the fertilizer. So now the fertilizers are becoming widespread because of the Secretary of Agriculture of the United States mandating their use for you to get your farm subsidy. So now even the holdout farmers who want to stay in business that are having a bad time are starting to outnumber the people that are more into the natural cycles of agriculture of the earth and animal husbandry, et cetera. And so you get more and more and more. And then in the 60s, cancer is all of a sudden the growth industry. Ends up on the cover of Time magazine.
Right.
And now, if their long-term plan is, let's see, we've got drugs, and our company over here is making lots of drugs. What are they? Well, they're side products from our railroad industry, which had turned into the oil industry, which is now our subsidy-laden new pharmaceutical everything. Let's see, we got this guy, this doctor, who's heading up the AMA, and he's telling everybody, unless it's endorsed by the AMA, it's not real medicine, and you shouldn't use it, and doctors shouldn't go to any school except for an AMA-sponsored school. And we've got him getting everybody all geared up to follow the American Medical Association around, you know, pulling the ring on their nose. And then over on this side, we're going to create a demand for all the drugs we're making in our other subsidy over here, which is making all the drugs. And we're telling everybody, get away from nature, get away from oxygen, get away from ozone. Get away from even thinking about sulfur or anything else. Don't worry about all that. Modern science is coming to your rescue. We've got everything you need. We've got everything you can want, Mrs. Housewife. If you want to be hip and modern and good times, take your kids to our doctors who will then have them dispensing our pharmaceutical byproduct drugs to them. And to guarantee our market share in the future, what we'll do is we'll remove, and I don't even know if they knew this, but this is the way, you know, if darkness was behind it all, the humans weren't. Darkness was thinking, wonderful, wonderful plan. We take the sulfur out of the food because the soils are played out. We got to use an artificial fertilizer. And so in the future, we're going to have generation after generation with no sulfur in their diets, in their parents' diets, or their parents' parents' diets, or their grandparents' diets. Every generation weaker and weaker and weaker and sicker and sicker and sicker. And now you've got this huge market for everybody to go to the AMA-sponsored doctors who are going to dispense the drugs, which are the cure-alls, for all the things that are wrong with you or that are being created by the removal of the sulfur from your daily diet. It's a beautiful plan. I mean, it's genius. It's all-encompassing. It takes in every facet of society, is pulled into the scheme. And this is just one little area, which, of course, is very important, which is human health.
That is incredible.
Now, the thing, the scenario has one thing left out of it, and that is the Pollyanna effect. Doom and gloom is something I've just never really gotten a big kick out of. And, you know, and every time we get ready to elect someone, it's all doom and gloom, or let's blow up our own buildings or something of that sort. What is impressive to me as someone who has observed the medical condition for 42 years and the human condition for 63 years, because I started watching stuff when I was young, is we can solve all of the problems by addressing what Ed just described. We have built a mega industry out of being sick. The most productive industry in the land is the ones that help us stay sick. But if we can avoid having to take the stuff that makes us stay sick, they go broke.
I was just on my way to my question box. But the first question that I have right now is they want you to explain the difference between the sulfites in the wine and sulfur, and why are we allergic to sulfites and we need sulfur.
Okay. A sulfite is a combination of an amino acid and sulfur, and it becomes a sulfite.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're talking, especially in red wines, the skins are very high in sulfur, but they're also very high in other things, you know, and we don't study that, so we don't know even the names of them. But if you want to make Ripple, to give you an idea, if you want to make Ripple, in 3 days, you add sulfur to the mix. You got wine in 3 days. That's why it tastes so good.
Okay. Now we've got another question here.
Before we go on, I want to get this point in because we're going to get a lot of stuff here with questions. The reason sulfur works, as far as I understand from my studies and research and talking to Patrick, is the fact that it makes so many of the amino acids in our body, besides delivering the oxygen, which is vital importance, obviously, because that's how you detox in the first place, get rid of the garbage, and then that's how your body can get the energy, rebuild itself by making amino acids. So what about the amino acids, Patrick?
Well, there's an article from the College at Southampton, which has disappeared since it was posted, that it explained that all of our immune system is based on our sulfur-based amino acids, and pardon me for being redundant. And it was a very technologically wonderful article, but they never explained where the sulfur came from. And, you know, at least England has colleges of nutrition. We don't. And I wrote to them and never got an answer back, but there's another article that was posted by another group pretty much saying the same thing. Methionine and cysteine are absolutely sulfur-dependent. No sulfur, you don't got them.
And I have practically zero ratings on methionine and cysteine.
Yeah, remember when you got those tests from them looking at your blood and all this, and she's looking at your voice frequencies, and all the diagnostic procedures are screaming, there is no sulfur. But in the human minds, which are programmed, trained to not see the whole picture, to only look down the tunnel vision tube, they hear, when the tests say there is no sulfur, they hear, you're not absorbing sulfur, you're not absorbing sulfur, there's something wrong with your digestion, you're not absorbing sulfur, because that's what the program is. What you're actually seeing is there is no sulfur. There is no sulfur. It's not that you're not absorbing sulfur that's not there, because there isn't any there, so you don't have any. And that's why it didn't click in your brain that you had a jar of organic sulfur from pine trees with no fillers or additives sitting on your shelf, and you didn't even realize that's the jar of sulfur that the test showed doesn't exist in me. And then you sent me the methylation cycle diagram, which is showing that put sulfur in this end of the cycle, and out the other end comes all the amino acids that the immune system runs on. So wait a minute. If I don't have sulfur to put into the cycle, how am I ever going to get my immune system's amino acids at the other end? And that's why there is just an empty space in the chemistry and scientific medical literature about sulfur. Because you're not thinking of it. Nobody's asking questions about it. Let the sleeping dog lie. We're making lots of money. Everybody's sick, but, you know, my kids are sick. I'm sick. But who cares? We got the money coming in and I keep my power. Well, that just doesn't fly anymore. It just doesn't fly anymore. So we got to bring out the fact that there's this hole in science called sulfur, and no one talks about it. No one's doing studies on it. No one gets on the air about it. No one speaks about it. And this is vital, along with the oxygen and the enzymes from plants and the minerals from plants, for our immune systems, our very bodies, to repair themselves and to beat off whatever it is that's making you have a disease. So that's why this is important. It's the missing. It's like when I started. When I started, I would laugh at people and I would say, well, all I'm doing is pointing at what's in front of your nose. You know, because you breathe through your nose and you breathe in oxygen, right? And all I'm doing is pointing there and going, look, right there. Hold your breath and tell me, you know, when you think you've got a problem, raise your hand. I used to do this in my lectures. Hold your breath, start right now, and when you feel any discomfort at all, raise your hand. I said, that is the most important thing in your life, right there, what you just showed yourself, and it's under your nose. And everybody's got you looking beyond your nose, out into the literature, into what's this and what's that, and there it is, right? Now, what's the next thing, the next hole? I could have done a whole career on sulfur, just like Patrick's done. It's the missing, it's the next thing, it's the missing link in that chain. How do you move the oxygen? How do you make your amino acids? How do you get your body to work again? Give it what it's designed to run on. And that's what we're talking about.
You know, my father was raised by a mother who was raised by a mother, an Irish mother, who had all of these natural remedies. And when my brother and I were little, he would mix sulfur, and it was yellow in those days. I don't know where he got it. But he would mix sulfur with peanut butter and make us peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. What did he know about sulfur? That's his truck driver that I'm telling you about. What did he know about sulfur? It wasn't half bad tasting, by the way.
No, it's we have a dog down the street. His name is Ringo, and it's the only way he'll take his sulfur. But he weighs 130 pounds. So we haven't wanted to argue with him. You can't make sulfur sweet, but you can hide it in something that's bitter. And peanut butter by itself is bitter. It's bitter butter.
Bitter butter.
Bitter butter. And the yellow dirt that he was putting in is the homeopathic sulfur. You know, that's actually yellow dirt. It's volcanic activity in the air or in pure water as opposed to salt water. And it's what we used to use before DDT as a pesticide. So too much of it is quite deadly, but, you know, a little bit in peanut butter evidently didn't hurt you. You're not 9 years old.
And not only that, I grew up having no acne, and that was what it was all about. Of course, I'm the one that continued to take it. My brother didn't. He had acne.
Yeah, acne is infection in the bloodstream popping out as pustules on the skin. Now, if you've got lots of oxygen in your body, because you've got lots of sulfur delivering lots of oxygen in your body, and you've got sulfur giving you the amino acids your body needs to run the immune system, along with the making of the hydrogen peroxide from the oxygen that you're getting in your body because you're taking enough sulfur, your story, et cetera, et cetera. how could you have an infection in your bloodstream that will pop out in your skin? Teenagers, listen up.
Why are people allergic to the sulfur in drying fruits that they use to dry fruits?
They're not. They're allergic to sulfites.
So it's sulfites they use to dry fruit. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Anything, like everybody says, just like you said, everybody says they've got a sulfur allergy.
Oh, I do.
I can't take that. Why not? Well, I've got a sulfur allergy. Well, you're not allergic to sulfur. You're not allergic to sulfur. Real life organic sulfur from nature. The only person that's allergic to that is a dead person.
Yeah. But then there's all these, the sulfites and the sulfonamides and all of that, that people are horribly allergic to. Everybody is allergic to them.
Okay, now let me address that. One,
okay.
Stanley Jacobs is still working at Oregon Health Sciences, to the best of my knowledge, and he stated if someone is allergic to sulfur, they're already dead. The next thing he said is there is no sulfur in sulfa. There is no sulfur in sulfa.
In sulfa drugs.
No, there isn't any sulfur at all.
Isn't that amazing?
It's S-U-L-F-A.
Mm-hmm.
It's not S-U-L-F-U. You know, we're talking about Latin roots and stems. We're not talking about cute stuff. We're just talking about Latin roots and stems.
Did they name sulfa purposely sulfa to think that you were taking sulfur?
My conversation with the Nazis has not gone that far. None of the synthetics of pharma work. Someone's taking pills and they think they work really great. Okay, well, we'll try organic sulfur and see what biology is all about. Because biology is a lot more fun. One, it's a lot cheaper. The doctors are not bad guys. Pharmaceutical people are bad guys. And
why are you saying that doctors aren't bad guys? I mean, I think they're held hostage is what I think.
Well, that doesn't make you a bad guy. You know, after the fall of the Shah in 1979, he was still a doctor. He said, you've got to give me something so I can treat these people. We'll give you water. So he healed them all with water. Well, my God, don't ask Ed what's in water. He'll tell you.
Dr. Bob and Jolly and I had several talks about oxygen and water and how water was necessary for oxygen to be carried through the body. And he was understanding that by having enough oxygen and enough water carrying the oxygen, you could improve on a bad situation when you had nothing else. And that's what he figured out when he was in prison. And they'd taken his family's fortune away and threw him in prison. And I met him at the first meeting of the International Myelooxidative Medicine Foundation, which is the first time doctors in this country met over the subject of oxygen. And I was there to record it all and, you know, doing presentations. And it was just a beautiful thing.
Why did he die?
I don't know.
Dehydration.
Did he?
Serious. I'm serious. That's why he died.
You've got to be kidding. How did that happen?
The cobbler has the worst shoes.
Yeah, when the show reopened, it said an open mind. Well, let's go there. When we experience something, if the majority of us are right-handed, we experience with our left brain. We see it more with our left brain. We process it with our left brain, and if it just scares the hell out of us, we react. Never even bother the right brain. That's not a very open mind. But if we take that information in and we can access our memories, which is a reference to autistic kids and folks with Alzheimer's, we can then remember who we are. But for that to happen, we have to get oxygen across the blood-brain barrier. That's what we have to have. And Rudy Tanzi has had two phone calls from me, and I think he's hated both phone calls, because he didn't understand gravity of how sulfur can transport oxygen across the blood-brain barrier, even though he admits it can. You know, this is a Nobel Prize laureate for, you know, just telling us what Alzheimer's is all about. Okay, well, I'm not a Nobel Prize laureate, but we're seeing people with Alzheimer's turn around and act like human beings again, even to the point where a doctor in Houston, Texas said, tell me about your wife, to one of our study members. And he said, well, what do you mean? And she said, no, don't worry about me being part of this establishment. I want to know what's going on with your wife because I've never seen anybody get better in this place. And she's rolling around in that wheelchair having adult conversation with adults.
Oh, my gosh.
See, they just watch them deteriorate and fade away. I found neighbors out wandering in the neighborhood. They don't know where they are. All preventable.
Oh, wow. Well, everybody can see the ad that I stole from your page, the It's Alive. And it's such a magnificent picture that you have. How did you get that picture? Where did you get it?
Put some sulfur in water, mixed it up, let it sit on my shelf over there 4 or 5 days. The water was gone. And then I let it sit a couple more days, and it grown all over the side using the moisture from the air and propagated itself alive. Spread up all over to the side of the bowl and then down the outside and around the whole thing.
That is just incredible.
It's alive.
So what we're taking is a lot.
It's a crystalline life form that the matrix of life supplies to us to build our matrix of being humans upon.
So we are built upon crystalline life forms. That's most interesting.
The trees that we acquire the sulfur from are just spindly little devils, not good for anything. And you really can't make a 2x4 out of them, but they still get about 60 feet tall. In 1867, there was a fellow by the name of Goodyear, and he had heard that you could make latex flexible and usable. It's called vulcanizing. And he couldn't make a deal with the Chinese to get the sulfur necessary to vulcanize. So he built a plant in Louisiana in 1867, that took the trees and turned it into the sulfur necessary to make rubber flexible.
Okay.
That's the whole trick about what sulfur does. It makes all of our cells flexible and pliable.
Which means they absorb the oxygen and are able to dispel, exit, push out, purge their toxins because they're flexible. You deny people sulfur, they age prematurely. And how many people look way older than they really are simply because their cells have turned leathery?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I need to know right now, Patrick, would you please explain the connection between sulfur deficiency and aneurysm? And could sulfur help heal or reverse an existing aneurysm?
It has demonstrated as such. My background is photographing aneurysms in the eyes of kids, which eventually kill them because there's a similar aneurysm in their brain.
Oh,
and
great.
That's an inability of the cells to hold together and close the gap. An aneurysm is just a ballooned vessel. That's all it is.
Okay.
So if somebody wants to see pictures of this, they would get my 4-DVD set, Flood Your Body with Oxygen, the whole section in there, and oxysulfur, showing Patrick's pictures of blood vessels that have just burst open because the cellular structure is so weak, they leak. You can actually see pictures of this, of what we're talking about.
Okay. Now, I have one other question. Do you put any of that anti-caking stuff in your sulfur?
Heaven forbid.
What is in your sulfur?
Nothing. Just sulfur.
Just sulfur.